ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. At least three people were hurt when a tornado slammed Lancaster County, Nebraska. They were in a building in an industrial complex that took a direct hit and collapsed. Donald Trump's longtime personal assistant testified today in the former president's hush money trial. Rona Graff says Mr. Trump kept contact information for two women to whom he's accused of paying hush money.
Graff's testimony was brief, but all those years of record-keeping packing a punch. She kept Trump's calendar and his contacts, and Graff told the jury she entered information for porn star Stormy Daniels, including her mobile phone number. And there was more. Graff testified she had a vague recollection of seeing Daniels in Trump Tower.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in court. A Colorado paramedic convicted of giving Elijah McClain a lethal dose of a powerful sedative was sentenced today to 4 years probation. Jeremy Cooper apologized to McClain's family before learning his fate. This is ABC News. The Minneapolis City Council has agreed to pay a $150,000 settlement to an eyewitness who tried to intervene to prevent George Floyd's murder. Donald Williams says he suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder after he was assaulted by police while trying to prevent Floyd's death in the year 2020. A Wyoming cop slapped a Girl Scout and her mom with hundreds of dollars in fines for where they sold their cookies.
13-year-old Girl Scout Emma McCarroll was hoping to reach her cookie sales goal so she could go to summer camp, setting up in Grandma's driveway. But an officer was having none of it. The Cowboy State Daily reports that mom Erica Fairbanks McCarroll was fined for unlawful obstruction of a road, blocking a sidewalk, and parking a vehicle on the sidewalk. $400 worth of fines. Fairbanks McCarroll going to court, two citations dismissed, leaving her with a $150 fine for the unlawful obstruction and $508 in lawyer's fees. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Emma still reached her sales goal. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin next week, which suits Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler just fine.
The more they find out what Donald Trump is promising to do to Americans if he wins again, the more voters move towards Democrats.
Republican Chair Brian Schimming says President Biden visits Wisconsin so often because he's in trouble here.
It's not because they're confident in Wisconsin. It's because they know they're in trouble in Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that.
Two spoke at a WISC Politics luncheon Thursday. Four Wisconsin technical colleges will use $75,000 to train young firefighters. The Youth Volunteer Firefighter Training Program aims to boost recruits for rural volunteer fire departments. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the Bucks and the Pacers as their playoff series tips off tonight in Indianapolis. Damian Lillard.
First, you got to understand it's going, you know, every game is going to be a tough game. You know, anytime you go on another team's home floor, you got to know that they're going to be more comfortable. They're going to be more confident. They're a team that already plays fast. They're going to play a little bit faster at home. And I think that's when we got to lean on our experience.
The series stands one game apiece. Baseball. Brewers and the Yankees at AmFam Field tonight. Football, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. Coming up, the Packers using their first pick on Arizona offensive tackle Jordan Morgan.
Feels so great. I mean, I've been watching David Bakhtiari, following him and studying his play. So, I mean, it feels like such an honor to be able to go to Green Bay and play.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
To me, it was just, you know, I think we needed to add some things to that group. And and Jordan just fit us.
That's Brian Gutekunst with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with showers tonight. There could be some rumbles of thunder and breezy at times with lows in the mid-40s. More showers and thunderstorms a possibility tomorrow, especially in the later afternoon and evening. Highs in the mid-60s and breezy. More rain ahead and cooler Sunday. It's 46 right now.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we recap the weekend news events and kick off It's Gonna Be May Week.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's gonna be May.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight for hour number two. Kristen Lyerly is here in just a few minutes. Nathan Sill is going to join us. And I have to admit, I am taking full advantage of Kristen's appearance here because she's an OBGYN. She's a doctor, and I am fully exploiting this friendship by asking her all kinds of medical questions.
Let's go.
When you were here last, I meant to tell you before, I found yoga late in life, and I said, I love yoga. I have not done yoga since you were here last.
Pete, the mats are right in the other room.
I'm not going to do it here. That'd be weird.
Would it? No. With the big window?
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Because I usually wear just a jock strap and clogs when I do it, so. Oh, I was wondering if you were still here. Got a little laugh from Conrad. All right. I thought of that joke for you, Conrad, earlier because you said, oh, it's 10 degrees. That's shorts weather.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now it's 45 in the winter, and I thought, oh, that's Conrad's just walking around in a jockstrap and a tank top today.
Ka-chow, Conrad.
Ka-chow, nice. From the 608, Rico is rocking it tonight, man. You're welcome. I was just beginning to think I was becoming a pain in the ass. Never, Rico. Never. And then there's one more back to the... there's asterisks. Rico must have swore. So I want to ask you, before we bring Nathan in. So since I've been doing radio, since like May, I have been sitting on my butt, and I'm trying to get back in shape. All right. Years ago, I tried the vegan thing for like 9 months. It was great. I lost weight. I had energy. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a guy, I tend to binge on things.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, like, my mom is one of those people who can eat one cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Come on. Have one glass of wine? Can't do it, you know. So what do you tell people like me? I just started doing the keto thing about 6 weeks ago, and I love it. And I find it very easy. Your cravings go away, you know. And then one day, I don't know if you call it a cheat day, but I'll have a few carbs, but I won't go crazy. But is that a healthy diet?
In general,
okay. It
can be a very healthy diet as long as you are getting fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Are you getting that?
Yeah, you can eat berries. Like I eat blackberries and I love blueberries.
I do too.
Those are not keto friendly, but sometimes I'll just have some because you can have a certain amount of carbs.
Mm-hmm. You need the nutrients.
Right.
That's the thing. So it might be really important for you, depending on the breadth of food that you eat, to have a multivitamin every day. I'm not a big vitamin person, but yeah, if you are eating a restricted diet, like say you've had weight loss surgery.
Okay.
Or you have celiac or other food issues, you may want to take a multivitamin just to make sure that you're getting all of those nutrients, since you can't get them through your diet. Vegans also have to make sure that they get enough protein.
Protein, right.
Yeah, you know, you did that.
I did it, and I made sure I did. Mm-hmm. You have to work a little harder at it, but like with the keto, I've been taking a multivitamin since really at the onset of COVID.
Uh-huh.
And I knew D, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I had a feeling vitamin D was going to be huge.
Yeah.
And it is. And
it was discovered here in Wisconsin.
Vitamin D?
At the UW.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea. Well, there you go. But I've been taking, I don't think I've missed a day. I take D, and when I get cold symptoms or illness symptoms, I take a lot more D.
Uh-huh.
Take echinacea and...
Zinc?
Isn't echinacea... I tried the zinc. That didn't work for me. If I have a symptom, uh-huh, and I start taking echinacea at the first sign of a symptom, I do not get sick.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm not like trying to brag, but I do take vitamins and I believe in them. But some of them have carbs because I take the gummy, you know, they're not the gummy, how everybody thinks of a gummy. It's not a marijuana vitamin is what I'm saying.
There were gummies before there was marijuana in
gummies. That's true. Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people that are having trouble? I mean, I think I kind of found my thing. And once I turn a corner, I'm fine. I eat pretty responsibly. But what do you tell people that really struggle with nutrition and just trying to be in shape?
You've just got to figure out what works for you.
Okay.
There's not a perfect diet that works well for everybody, or that would be the answer for everybody. Like, we wouldn't have obesity. It wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
So you've just got to find that diet that's going to work for you. And I'm not saying that unhealthy diet that's going to work for you.
Yeah, cupcakes.
Yeah, right. No, but maybe you are a Mediterranean diet kind of person because you like that kind of food. Maybe you are a keto person because you like that kind of food. Maybe you could never eat meat again. I mean, who knows? Whatever appeals to you, find it. Make it your own. Fine tune it, tweak it, make sure you're getting enough nutrients. So maybe it is an extra multivitamin. Maybe it's some D. Maybe you need a little extra iron in your diet. Really, you individualize it for yourself. And it's the same thing with exercise. If you hate yoga, don't make yourself do yoga every day. Do something else that makes you feel happy and inspired and excited to exercise.
That's a great answer. And I think that's the thing too. I think fresh fruit is vital to me anyway in keeping illness away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think vitamins can replace that. I don't know. I just think there's something you get about from fresh fruit.
Well, fiber for one.
Well, I mean, so fiber, but I mean, in terms of you meant that medically, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I am, listen,
it's great
I could
to
go pro.
Colon cancer. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Let me ask you that. Cause I'm all right. If you go to the bathroom a lot, is that good for thinking you don't have colon cancer? Like
if you have more than one stool a day?
Yeah.
If that's your norm, if that's the way that you've been, you know, living your life, then it's most likely fine.
Okay.
It's when you have a change in your bowel habits. So if you notice that your poop is really skinny.
Okay.
Or if there's blood in the toilet or blood on your stool, those are really
We are batting 1,000 so far here, I gotta tell you. So two a day, is that normal? Is that a good sign?
Two a day can be normal.
What about seven? What if I go seven times a day?
Okay. That's a lot, especially if it's loose.
Yeah.
That tells me that something's GI-wise for you. Okay. And, you know, there's a fair bit of data about probiotics. Because, you know, our bodies are loaded with bacteria that helps us digest things.
Right.
So if you don't have the right mix of bacteria in your colon,
it's all about the gut health too, right? And
it is. And your gut health affects your mental health.
This is the free medical advice I always love getting. isn't that something? I know I've read that in my own little Google research. That's fascinating to me how they're tracing everything now to gut health.
Not everything. Lots of it is dental health.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of data now that if you have dental issues, bacteria growing in your teeth, how it affects your heart.
It can affect your
pregnancy if you are a woman who is pregnant. There are a number of things that are correlated with bad dental health.
Here's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
11 BMs a day, but floss every night.
No.
No.
Yes, floss. No BMs. too many beers.
I don't usually talk about that. I'm not like an earthy guy, especially not like in my humor. That was never, but it's medical, right?
I have four sons, so I'm pretty comfortable talking about poop.
I bet you are. So we're going to bring in Nathan. Is Nathan here, Conrad? Can we get Nathan in here?
Yeah.
I cannot wait to talk to him. And you'll probably be really interested in this too, Kristen, because he made this great film about parkour, and he can tell us about it. Set him up right here.
Nathan, you look like a parkour guy. You've got that, like, swagger. You look strong. You're, like, you're buff.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
You should see on his website. Joining us now is, and I never asked you if you want like an official intro. I know you're a filmmaker.
I'll take one.
Yeah. You'll take one. Okay. Filmmaker Nathan Sill is here, and I'm saying your last name correctly.
Yeah. Nice to meet you in person.
This is Dr. Kristen. So he is recovering from a medical issue. We'll get to that. But first, let's talk about your film, Nathan. So it's called Afterglow. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. Afterglow is a true passion project. It's made by myself and all my friends. I'm from Beloit. We have a little parkour group down there called Siegfried. And it really is just about how we grew up, became friends, but also used parkour as this great option to go out and explore and deal with a lot of problems that we had in our life, such as mental health issues and problems at home.
That's really interesting. And the trailer of your film you shared with me, this is a great sign too, because I'm a filmmaker myself. And the second I saw the trailer, I had so many questions for you. And I'm like, I really wish I could see this whole movie. Whose house was that you show in the trailer with the maggots?
That is my friend Devin McIntyre's and his sibling house that they grew up, their second house that they grew up in.
Wow. That was really, so, and is, well, tell us what inspired, let's do this. Tell us what inspired you to make the film. At what point did you say, I have to turn this into a movie? Because documentaries take a long time.
Yeah.
The filmmakers have to be incredibly patient. And what made you decide, because how old are you?
22 at the moment.
Wow. That's impressive. So what made you say, I'm going to dedicate probably at least a year, maybe more, to this project?
We've always wanted to make a parkour documentary since high school. And I would say we didn't really know how to do that until last year. I was graduating from Beloit College, and we heard that the film festival was, you know, looking for new films. And we had been pitching out the whole year about making a film over the summer. And at that time, it was kind of more of like, let's go out, have a lot of really good athletes come out and just shoot something that's really intense, super cool. And the more we talked about it, we decided to tell a story, our story at Siegfried. And it was a lot of talking. I would say the longest thing in the process was the behind the scenes talking with members, seeing who was comfortable telling their story, because it's very personal stories being told throughout the film. And then, surprisingly enough, we shot the whole movie in a week. No sleep, pretty much going out.
Really?
Yes. And we went to work, and we did 1,200 plus hours of editing in about 3 months, and got it done and submitted it to the film festival. And yeah,
right. Scratch what I said about documentary filmmakers needing to be patient. That's incredible. That's like a breakneck pace. No pun intended, because I know it's dangerous. Nathan Sill is here. We're talking about his film Afterglow, and we have a lot more coming up. And Kristen Lyerly is here, who's going to jump in with her medical advice to parkourians. Is that a word? I don't know. Hey, this is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the street because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I got this feeling inside my bones, it goes electric, wavy when I turn
it's
it
Justin
on.
Timberlake's birthday today. City, what better way to celebrate that than with a little Justin Timberlake? Nathan, you like Justin Timberlake?
I do.
I don't think I like anybody that's new, and then I hear a song and I'm like, oh, this is great.
We should have a sing along.
Let's just see how, just don't get ahead of ourselves, right, Kristen? You're so bossy. All right. So, okay. So you said you spent your whole life in Beloit. When did you get into parkour?
I got into parkour my sophomore year of high school, and I immediately twisted my ankle. Had to go into swim season and didn't really get back into it seriously until senior year of high school. And that's when we formed Siegfried and the whole group of people that we all started coming out at lunch together, started training together, skipping a few classes together, and it was a really good time.
Skipping classes.
Who does that?
Siegfried. Why Siegfried?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Siegfried is spelled S-I-G-F-R-E-E-D, so not like the band, but it comes from a Germanic myth of this guy slaying a dragon. He drinks his blood, and he gains, like, the power to talk to animals.
Uh-huh.
We wanted Siegfried to be for us just kind of like a metaphor of going out, and everyone has these issues in our group or problems that are really tough, but you can be your like own hero, slay that metaphorical dragon of your life. And it was like a fun thing that we came up with all together.
I love it. So you're obviously really pro movement, and parkour can be dangerous. We'll get back to the film, but are the accidents in that sport worth the risks? You still do it even though you had an injury? And tell us about your injury too.
Yeah. I'll start with parkour and danger. I think for how a lot of parkour athletes view it is, it's not that it's too dangerous, but like every sport has danger. I think, Christian, you said something about it. It's if you're not smart and not a smart athlete, you're going to end up injured no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And with parkour, I would say it's a newer sport. So we don't have as many people around, especially like the Wisconsin area, that train up a lot of the young athletes. If you go to bigger states or cities, areas that they do have those gyms and stuff, you get a lot more people that know what they're doing. For me and my friends, we learned on YouTube. And so there was a lot more injuries that I think came out of that just because you see someone jumping off something. You don't see the time and practice that goes behind that. Like those guys, those Red Bull athletes are training hours and hours and hours on the street in gyms. And a high school student isn't going to be able to replicate that no matter how many times they throw themselves off that.
I wish we could replicate the look on Pete's face when you said I learned that on YouTube.
I used to work on a show called Sports Soup. It was like, you know, the show The Soup.
Uh-huh.
This is a Comcast show. It was just sports. And I sat in a room with other comedians and we wrote jokes. It was a great gig. But I was in charge of some of these finding funny skateboard clips and mixed martial arts stuff. And some of it, the injuries are horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like bones sticking out of skin and going the other way. And one guy, to your point, was like 17 and he took a really bad spill. And he was talking later about how his friends wanted him to shave his head because they all decided to shave their heads. He says, no, my hair is like my natural helmet. But that's what some of these kids, they think
They think that way. They just don't know. So it's kind of cute and it's kind of dangerous, right? I mean, you said you had a pretty bad injury. What happened to you, Nathan?
For sure. Well, going back to being in high school, I really, really fell in love with a lot of the high impact stuff. And being an athlete, I was already training quite a lot. And if you're not landing right, you're not rolling right, it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of different parts of your body. And it just gets worn down so much faster. So by freshman year of college, not high school, I was, my back was hurting really bad. We went to the doctor and ended up getting an MRI. I had 3 ruptured discs in my back that I had been like training on for like a year. And it was just very gross, very bad. Lots of like little bone fragments that were off doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And so I went into surgery for that. And I woke up and they had accidentally nicked my spinal cord. So I woke up completely paralyzed from the waist down. And they didn't know if I was going to walk again.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And how old were you?
I was 19 at the time.
Okay.
Just turned 19, I think, actually.
So have you fully recovered from that? And do you still do parkour?
Yes to the second one, kind of to the first one. I'm partially paralyzed from the knees down still. Have a little bit of foot drop on both sides. But I do still do parkour, just a lot differently.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a reevaluation of the sport. Like, I love it. It has done so much for me mentally and physically, good and bad. And it's just kind of finding a new avenue within the sport.
From the very beginning, you talked about how this is a physical sport, but also it's helped you and your friends with so many of the things that were happening in your lives. Talk a little bit more about that and about how it has really contributed to your overall health and well-being.
Yeah. Speaking from my point of view, I think the biggest thing is my mental health. I grew up like way outside in the country, so didn't grow up with a lot of people around me. And parkour for me has been a very social sport. I've gotten to meet a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, talk with them, grow with them. And moving in general is just a really good way to get outside your head sometimes. Like, you feel trapped, you feel very isolated in your own head. Mm-hmm. And when you're moving out in an environment, it's kind of like doing art. You can go out and do whatever you want, and it really just helps with expressing like who you are, who you want to be.
Mm-hmm. What? That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I would say filmmaking is safer, so go with filmmaking. But if you see this trailer, Kristen, of Nathan's film, you're taking a lot of risks as a filmmaker. You got some drone shots maybe of the Madison area, I noticed, but you have people cliff diving and stuff. And you're up filming that. How was that dangerous?
So we actually, another shout out, actually, we had one guy from the Madison area, Alex Page. He did all the drone work, all the filming, all by himself over the 8 days we were out filming. So he had never done parkour before. He had never done anything like that before. He came out and he's climbing the buildings with us. He's jumping off the cliffs with us. He's hiking up these things with a camera and his drone. And he's just hanging off, getting all these shots. And he handled it like a champ. I was, just amazed by like how well he kept up with everyone.
You're hearing this and you let your son do this, this sport.
It's a fantastic sport. So for people who are not familiar with parkour, we should have started with this. What is parkour?
So parkour is movement, creative movement through urban or like any environment, really. It started from like French military training, how to get to point A to point B, the fastest, most efficient way possible. And so many different athletes have come into the sport and added to the sport. And now we have a lot of tricking that's moved into it, which is like the flipping side of it. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of free runners who compete for Red Bull and stuff. And they really focus in on a lot of the like really stylish, fancy moves. And it's really grown as a sport into lots of different avenues. And I compared it to an art style, and it really is an art in the way that so many people can just go and make it their own.
I have so many questions for you still about the film and parkour, and we'll get to that. Coming up next, we're going to ask Nathan how he feels about the Oxford comma. No, we're not going to do that. We're talking parkour and filmmaking. He's an up-and-coming filmmaker. His film is Afterglow. We have more in just a minute on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nothing will listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. At least three people were hurt when a tornado slammed Lancaster County, Nebraska. They were in a building in an industrial complex that took a direct hit and collapsed. Donald Trump's longtime personal assistant testified today in the former president's hush money trial. Rona Graff says Mr. Trump kept contact information for two women to whom he's accused of paying hush money.
Graff's testimony was brief, but all those years of record-keeping packing a punch. She kept Trump's calendar and his contacts, and Graff told the jury she entered information for porn star Stormy Daniels, including her mobile phone number. And there was more. Graff testified she had a vague recollection of seeing Daniels in Trump Tower.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in court. A Colorado paramedic convicted of giving Elijah McClain a lethal dose of a powerful sedative was sentenced today to 4 years probation. Jeremy Cooper apologized to McClain's family before learning his fate. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Officials from the Green Bay area are in Detroit for the NFL draft. The big event will be in Wisconsin next year, and the people putting it on are getting an idea of what it takes to pull it off. It's not just government and tourism officials, but also owners and managers of restaurants, bars, hotels, and security companies. Local leaders are deciding their next move after the Universities of Wisconsin announced plans to pull out of Richland Center. Critics say the UW is breaking a long-term lease.
Local leaders really did not have advance notice. This letter just showed up. And obviously it leads to a huge economic hole for the counties that own these facilities.
State Senator Kelda Royes, the UW system is shutting down 5 2-year branch campuses in all. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Let's go to the movies. If you're looking for something to watch this weekend and no new films or TV shows grab your attention, why not go retro? The 1979 classic Alien is opening again this weekend. The release is to celebrate the film's 45th anniversary. Alien was directed by Ridley Scott and stars Sigourney Weaver, Veronica Cartwright, Tom Skerritt, and John Hurt. If you're lucky enough to live near a theater showing Alien, you will also be treated to an interview with director Ridley Scott before the showing of the film. Kathy Lee Gifford spoke to Entertainment Tonight this week about her new book titled I Want to Matter. Your life is too short and too precious to waste. Gifford said she finally found forgiveness for her late husband Frank Gifford's affair with a flight attendant. To be clear, the affair happened before Frank passed away. I love the way tabloids choose their words. Kathy Lee is an accomplished host and author and creator of Kathy Lee Casuals, which do not offer menswear. So rude. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with showers tonight. There could be some rumbles of thunder and breezy at times with lows in the mid-40s. More showers and thunderstorms a possibility tomorrow, especially in the later afternoon and evening. Highs in the mid-60s and breezy. More rain ahead and cooler Sunday. Right now it's 48.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
off.
That's
not... What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules,
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would
not.
Just yeah. start I'm freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk live with former and maybe future Congressman Peter Barca about his decision to run this fall in Southeast Wisconsin's 1st District.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's the kind of music I parkour to. I'm a very mellow parkour. From the 608, Rico again. Real question here. What would be a good first date movie? That is a good question.
Saltburn.
Did you watch it with someone?
No. I watched it.
You should have called
the
folks in.
Barely watched it with himself.
No.
Yeah, really. Sometimes all you need is yourself for a first date. That's fun. That was a joke. Nobody laughs at my jokes around here. Connor, are you still here? Okay.
I forgot to turn on my mic. I did laugh, though.
How about Groundhog Day? That's coming up. That's one of my favorite movies. That's a great first date.
That's cute.
Movie, for sure. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe it's too cute, though. Maybe it puts pressure on as a couple if you're not hitting it off.
I mean, let's go category. Do you go with a romantic comedy or do you go with a documentary? It's a different message.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would go action film.
Action film.
Because it's
that would be
like,
the only date.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, it depends who's on the date, right? If I'm hanging out with Jean-Claude Van Damme, it's a perfect date. Mm-hmm. Not in that way, but I'm just saying. Okay. Rico, we'll get back to you on this because I don't know. That's a good, I think like a Groundhog Day could work or.
Say anything.
Mm-hmm. Kind of along the same lines a little bit. What do you watch, Nathan? What are your favorite movies?
I like a lot of anime actually. So I'm not sure that makes the best first date movies, but Your Name is a really good film from Japan. So
okay.
I like that one. It has a little bit of romance in it, so.
Do you know of a film? My son likes the film The Departed a lot, the Scorsese film. Oh. And he says it's based on a Japanese film called The Interrogators or The Infiltrators. It's not anime, but I don't know. If you're into Japanese films, I thought maybe.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not going to say I know that one off the top of my head.
Okay. So anime is great if your date is into anime too. Then
I think so, yeah.
It's a home run.
But if your date is into anime and you're watching anime, that is like. You're locked in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's perfect. You go right to the altar from there.
Absolutely.
Or to Vegas. Nathan Sills. That is the voice of Nathan Sills. He's an up-and-coming filmmaker and a student. He's a very young guy. Drove here all the way from Beloit to be in studio. I think he just wanted to meet Dr. Kristen Lyerly and get some advice like I do. She's here, too. We're having fun tonight on this Wednesday night, broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Green Bay Studios, WGBW. So you talked about mental health, Nathan, and you mentioned during the break that one in four kids is homeless. Is that right? In Beloit?
One in five teens or young adults are homeless in Beloit or struggling with problems at home.
That is shocking. I don't know much about Beloit, but and what do? They find groups like this, like yours maybe, for parkour and feel part of something.
Yeah, I would say that, my friend Devin, him and his family are a big part of the film. That is what he found was our parkour group. And I mean, I didn't know right away his situation. It's not something you go out and talk about, but with the film, one of the things that we do push throughout the film is what connection means to people and having a space to talk about that kind of stuff with people you trust, people you love. And having that option open to people. It doesn't have to be parkour, but connecting, reaching out with other people, other peers, mentors, and having that space to like really open up can be a lot for people.
Well, say. I mean,
I love that you said connection twice as you were talking about it, because obviously, you know, if you are unhoused and probably have a pretty rough family situation, you're seeking that. You need that. Like, we're human beings and we have to have that in our lives. And in the break, our listeners didn't get to hear this, but you talked a little bit about what your hopes are for the future as somebody who graduated with a degree in psychology. You're not really a filmmaker. I mean, you are now, but that wasn't what you were going into initially. This all just kind of erupted out of your love for parkour and your love for this group of people that you were with. Where do you go with it from here?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. We are working with a lot of nonprofits, actually, in Beloit. OLA, Good Trouble Beloit, being the two main ones at the moment. We have a showing in April, April 23rd, right after the film festival, which is going to be the 5th and the through the 14th. And we're going to be doing a showing with them, which is going to be a big community event down at the church. And it's going to be hosted by OLA, which is where the church is, but also with Good Trouble Beloit. And we're going to be trying to really get a lot of the homeless families in there. We're going to be trying to get a lot of the community members in there and just really start a discussion about Beloit, the situations a lot of people are going through, and then bringing awareness to that.
Will there be parkour?
Hopefully. Hopefully we're all healthy and we can do a few little stunts around.
Don't overdo it, though. Just take it easy, will you? All right. So one of my questions for you, Nathan, and I ask a lot of filmmakers this, who are your influences? But you're not really a film guy. So you can answer the question by telling me who your influences are as a filmmaker, or how in the heck you went about this, because you've never done this before. You obviously just kind of tore into it guerrilla style and made a film. How did you tell yourself you were going to do it, and how did you get through it?
I would say one of the things that did help is we've had a very like low-key YouTube channel over the years. That was something. So going into it, we kind of knew how to structure parts of the story. I knew how to write. I took a lot of journalism classes and stuff, creative writing courses. So when I was writing the scripts on stuff, that helped tremendously. And then the other big thing that helped was we had a great editor after the fact, Mason Sorensen. He came in. He had actually 7 years of YouTube experience. So I sat with him. We sat down, and anything that was not traditional, him and our production guy, Alex, he also came in, and they were like, okay, this is like good. This looks like a movie. No, that doesn't look like a movie. And they helped a lot. Mason did all the editing throughout the whole 3 months. He sat in his room with me just hour after hour after hour, and he was a very good sport about it. And then, I mean, I really like James Gunn and his movies, like the Guardians 3. I really like how he uses the music. So that was something at least we tried to do a little bit with the music.
I was one, because you have to have some kind of influence to do this. Like, how, and you say you sat in the room, and that's, to me, kind of the cool part of the process when you're making a film, is just logging those hours and sitting there and laughing at stupid stuff after a while. But how do you know, you're a first time director, how did you know as you're watching this, yeah, that's good, yeah, that's not, let's get rid of that? Just shooting from the hip?
I think the big thing is with our story and how we wanted it to be told, we had everyone's story from the raw interviews that they told. And so after watching those and seeing like what parts really worked and what parts didn't work, the script was kind of in my head already. There was parts like emotionally I wanted in the film because they would make me tear up, like thinking about going through that in the past, or make me laugh because it was so much fun on the trip itself. And so those were the parts we knew we had to keep in the movie. And so like working around those parts kind of was like trying to fit the pieces of the puzzle in for the rest of it. And it worked out really well. Like I said, it kind of was like worked out a little too well. I was like, this is really good. This is like a story that is easy to tell because we lived through it. So.
Well, that was one of my questions too. If you do make another film, this is obviously very close to you and it's your world, so you know it. So where do you go from here if you do want to make another film? Do you have to find something? Do you have other passions?
I mean, I think as people, like the group itself is so diverse and we've added new members over the years that the story could keep continuing. We could revisit like in 12 years, you know, what's the group doing? Have they like been able to escape and do more things, or like, you know, what happens? People are always changing. People are always growing, you know. So it would be interesting to maybe revisit in a few years, see like what people are doing, or maybe I'll like something else, you know, meet more like someone else. And I don't know, I plan on traveling a lot, so I hope.
So I have a doctor here and a psychiatrist here. I'm covered. You guys are on either side of me. I've got physical health, mental health. I feel like I'm pretty good spot here. My guests right now are Nathan Sills. He's an up and coming
Sill.
He's an up-and-coming filmmaker and a student. Did you graduate?
Yes.
Where did you graduate from?
Beloit College.
Beloit College. Yep. Okay, I thought so.
He is here to talk about his movie, Afterglow, which looks really cool. And my other guest is Kristen Lyerly, who is asking questions too, and I'm asking her questions about health.
There's so many questions happening.
Do you have a health
right
question
now.
for Kristen, Nathan?
Ooh. I'm not great with questions.
It's parkour. Where does he start, right?
Yeah.
You can think about it. Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You have a question for Nathan, Kristen?
How's your recovery going?
Yeah.
With the back? Yeah. Good. So, I mean, really good, actually. They did say I wasn't going to be able to walk again.
That's
wild. So, you know, I am walking, so that is a big thing. I had AFO braces for a really long time as well for the parkour. Been thinking about putting them back on just because some of the stuff for parkour, you have to have ankle support and don't have that quite yet. But I've been able to do a lot more this year, taking it slow, taking it smart, just trying to kind of learn a new way of moving through the sport physically and mentally. So
psychologically, when you suffer an injury like that, especially someone like you who is young and healthy and vibrant, and suddenly you can't walk again, that must have had a huge impact on your emotions, on the way you approached life. Like, tell us about how you kept yourself sane.
Well, I didn't
make a movie about it for therapy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I journaled a lot. I started like a book, and I wrote in it during the hospital stay. It was during COVID, so it was like complete isolation too. So it was mentally very tough. I would say that it was like a huge changing of like who I was, who I viewed myself as. I always viewed myself as this athlete. My whole life I'd been an athlete, so having that taken away was like a pretty serious thing. And then I would also say like it's a plot point in the movie itself. It's like no matter how good you try to present yourself, like you can recover physically and you can recover, like, but if you don't work on that mental side as well, you don't really recover unless you're really trying to like work through it. And luckily I had a great support network around me that really helped pull me out, because I was progressing pretty decently physically, but mentally I was kind of stagnant. And luckily I had a lot of good people, good friends, family that were there with me through that time.
So where does the title Afterglow come from?
Afterglow, hopefully you guys like this. Our editor actually came up with it. He is a big psychedelic guy. And so he told me.
This sounds like a crazy group, doesn't it? Like, I want to join. Are you taking applications for Siegfried or what? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But he told me it's the reflection period after a trip, like a psychedelic trip. It's the come down where you're reflecting on the good that you learned on the trip or the bad. And he was like, that's basically what your whole movie's about. He's like, you guys are going on this road trip, and then you're reflecting about all the good things that have come from the group and all the bad things that you guys have gone through. And he was like, that would be the perfect thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great title. So has there been talk of, first of all, tell me this. All right, we talked about how young you are. You're 22. You've never made a film before. You make this film, and you get into a film festival. What did that feel like? That must have been really cool.
We got the call, we got the like text, and I was really ecstatic. I called everyone, like all the group members, let them know. But I also, it didn't hit me that we had made a movie until like after the first like little friends and family viewing. We went, did it. I was like shaking people's hands, and it still didn't really hit me. I was like, oh yeah, we made a movie. And I was still kind of still on the trip with everyone. I was like, yeah. But I think it's starting to hit me more and more, and
I'm really excited for you to see this with an audience, because before the dawn of film festivals and before they became normal and everywhere, filmmakers would make films, independent films or documentaries, and the risk was that they would never see them with an audience. So I hope you get to take some mental snapshots of that while you're watching it with an audience and soak in that experience, because that is so cool. And I hope you can stick around, because we're going to talk a little bit about, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to leave that hanging so I can tell you guys when we come back. I'm so happy you're both here. Kristen Lyerly and Nathan Sill. More fun right around the corner. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Waking up in Vegas. Why are these lights so bright? Did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Elvis.
is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This has been really fun. I'm Pete Schwabe. We're broadcasting statewide from the City Deck Landing Studios at WGBW. Joining me tonight for a lot of the show is Kristen Lyerly. We've had a lot of fun. And Nathan Sill joined us a little while ago, too. He's a young filmmaker, and his film Afterglow will be at the Beloit Film Festival, which starts on April 5th. Our question tonight was, we were asking you to ask us questions because it's Backwards Day. And Rico's been working it, man. He chimes in again. Nathan, are you still on YouTube somewhere?
Yes, we are under Siegfried, spelled S-I-G-F-R-E-E-D, and then underscore explore, I think. We are not the first thing that pops up, though. I think the band pops up first and a few other things. But if you see the Afterglow trailer or search Siegfried Explore Afterglow, it should pop up right away.
Awesome. Nathan's YouTube videos are a great first date movie, by the way, too. It answered Rico's other question. All right, we got a caller. Let's put him through, Conrad. This is Tom from Jackson.
Hello.
How's it going, Tom?
Hello.
Hi.
I had a couple of questions for the doctor. My mom's side of the family has high blood pressure, and it looks like I do too. But some of the medicine I've taken gives me like a headache, like a spike in my head, And I was wondering what she would do if she had high blood pressure. What kind of medicine she would take, or is there anything natural I can do to handle that?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because high blood pressure is one of the things that contributes to heart disease, and heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. So this is something that you can do something about. If your medication isn't working for you, there are a number of other options out there, and some of these medications are known to give people headaches. So I would say give your doctor a call. See if there's something else that you can try just to keep your numbers normal so that your heart doesn't have to work so hard and you can live a long, beautiful, wonderful life.
How do you like that, Tom?
You know, one thing I'd like to say is that last year in the spring, I had a colonoscopy done. And they said during that procedure, my blood pressure was 120 over 80 then. Mm. But it seems like when I go see the doctor, it's much higher than that. And then after I've been there for a half hour or so, it's closer to normal, but it's never really at normal. But I was wondering what you thought about that, if it's more of a stress or is it just what?
You can't get a colonoscopy all the time to neutralize your blood pressure, so we have to think of other options here. And I'm not a doctor, Tom. Right. It's just my second opinion.
Well, and when you got your colonoscopy, you were probably pretty dehydrated, too, and that can affect your blood pressure. But I was having this conversation with my partner today.
What is happening on this show tonight? We've talked about more bodily functions. All right, go ahead, Kristen.
There are others that we have not yet
touched.
Yeah,
I'm sure. There's
let's focus
tons of
on
them.
Blood pressure.
Okay,
here.
All right. We got to help Tom out here.
You know, if you think about it this way, if your blood pressure goes up when you go to your doctor's office, what else makes your blood pressure go up?
So it may be that it's just your doctor that's got you feeling, you know, agitated.
White
because
coat
you're
hypertension,
nervous.
Right? Is that what they call it?
It's a thing. Yeah. Yeah, but I would encourage you, if you don't have a cuff at home, I would encourage you to get one so that you can check your blood pressure intermittently so you can see, what does my blood pressure look like throughout the day? When I'm feeling stressed, what does it look like? When I'm relaxed, what does it look like? That way, you will have a really good idea of what's going on with your body, because you really need to be your best advocate. Your doctor is not a magician. If you can come into the office, though, and say, this is what was happening, I took my blood pressure at these different times of the day, that is really helpful information as your doctor is trying to help you come up with the best way to manage your blood pressure.
We have a budding psychologist here, too, Tom. If you have a mental health question, you can throw it Nathan's way. Tom, thanks so much for the call tonight.
Well, I do have another
question. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking it.
No. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, my second question is my gallbladder was taken out 5 or 6 years ago, and that has affected my digestion. I don't really know if there's anything I could do to get around that.
That's tough. So your gallbladder holds your...
Kristen, if I may?
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Pete's going to give some medical advice now.
Hold on. Let me pull up the Google.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks.
Your gallbladder holds bile, and bile helps you digest fat. And when you don't have your gallbladder, it's harder for you to digest fat. So the fat can just kind of, you know, run through you, and that can really change your bowel habits, and it can make eating very uncomfortable. So you may want to just toy with your diet. Journal. Keep an eye on what you're eating and how it makes you feel. And that way you'll know which foods you really probably ought to avoid because they make you feel bad.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Everybody should do that.
That's a pretty broad spectrum.
It is. I wish I could say take this supplement or, you know, try something easy. But, you know, the truth is a lot of us, what you just said, Pete, it would be wise for all of us to keep an eye on what we're eating and how it affects us.
Because food is medicine.
It really is. I mean, food is medicine.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for the call tonight, buddy. Take care of yourself, okay?
Sure.
Okay, buddy. Have a great night.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. You've got some really good questions tonight. You're crushing them. I mean, you've got it. I believe you're a doctor. I was skeptical when you came in here tonight, but you are definitely a doctor.
I get that a lot. Are you a nurse? Yeah. All those years of school really have paid off.
So that's how you do it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the movie is Afterglow, and it's going to be at the Beloit Film Festival. Nathan Sill was nice enough to drive up here to have the in-studio experience, and I hope it was worth it.
It's great. Yep.
Do you have any questions about your gallbladder?
Or your bowels. I mean, we're covering it all here. Conrad, do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Okay. Your mom shied away tonight, I noticed.
Yeah, I don't think she liked
part of the medical or the bowel talk.
I appreciate, though, when you were talking about how you've modified your activity and that you can still be active and you can still do something that you love, because you got to stay active.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot you can do that isn't dangerous, like parkour, too. Like, no, I know you're laughing because when I was 22, somebody told me, you know, a walk? That's not exercise, taking a walk, but it's better than nothing, right? You get your blood pumping a little.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. I want to thank Nathan Sill for being here tonight, making the drive. And as always, Kristen, is so much fun to have here. Kristen Lierley. Dr. Kristen Lierley. Do you get mad when people don't call you doctor?
No.
No? Okay. That would really tick me off, I think, if I was a doctor. I'd be that guy. Dr. Pete Schwabba. If they just call me Pete Schwabba, I would have fun with that. All right. And thank you for all the texters, mostly Rico. He was on fire tonight.
Rico's amazing.
And your calls. Thanks so much, everybody. I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates. More Trump trials in Manhattan.
We'll find out who's on the prosecution's witness list. Tune in, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.